News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Well, care to count how many days until Election Day? Don't bother. It's 42. 42 days, and the clock is rapidly ticking down. We are focusing today on a pair of voter demographics on Countdown 2024, LGBTQ voters in our discussion with the president of Log Cabin Republicans, and also we're going to focus on Latino voters in our discussion with Lincoln Project co-founder Mike Madrid. But first, let's take a quick spin around the political world.
New polling out today emphasizes the razor-close margins in play for the presidential race between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. CNN shows the vice president leading the former president nationally by just a single percentage point. The poll finds Harris and Trump roughly even with independent likely voters, with female independents breaking toward Harris by pretty healthy margins, while male independents prefer Trump.
When it comes to Nebraska, former President Trump wanted it all the delegate votes, that is. Most states are so-called winner-take-all states. You win the popular vote, and you walk away with that state's delegates to the Electoral College. But Nebraska is an odd one. You can sort of carve up the delegates won by districts, and there is one district that favors Kamala Harris. And just being able to capture one delegate in a razor-close race could be a big difference. Well, Nebraska state legislators said no to Trump, a loss for him, and just maybe a huge win for Harris.
We talk a lot on Countdown 2024 about the presidential race, but the fight for control over Congress promises to be just as tense, and that fight will likely come down to who wins some key California congressional races. New polling from USC and Cal State Long Beach found Democratic candidates to be slightly ahead of Republicans in four of the state's six most closely watched swing districts. But those contests all remain incredibly close, and Democrats' advantage was within the survey's margin of error for each race.
And now on to Log Cabin Republicans, the group representing gay conservatives across the country. They've long sought to make the GOP a more inclusive party, but with mixed results. One liberal gay political activist described the Log Cabin Republican efforts like this. The group's history has been a long losing struggle against the growing power of the right wing in the Republican Party. Well, Charles Moran is president of the National Log Cabin Republicans, and he's with us now in Countdown 2024. Charles, let me start off by asking you, with all of the language that we keep hearing out of the Republican Party and out of the different candidates, whether it's former President Trump or vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance, talking about having, family values and eliminating certain phrases from state and federal regulations. Don't you feel at times like you're in a club that doesn't want you?
Thanks for having me on this afternoon. I think it's actually completely the opposite. And when you talk about the club that doesn't want me, we just finished celebrating in July in Milwaukee. And one of the biggest headlines coming out of that was the fact that for the first time ever, the Republican Party platform in modern history actually has no condemnation on gay marriage. All of the anti-LGBT language was stripped out of it compared to where it was before. Think about it. In 2004, 20 years ago, George Bush and Dick Cheney were on the stage campaigning on a constitutional ban on gay marriage. And 20 years later, after all of the work that organizations like mine and a lot of our leaders throughout the country and changed hearts and minds of so many conservatives in this nation, had a RNC platform, the official operating document for the Republican Party, a statement of beliefs, stripped out all of that anti-gay language.
Okay, so
That's huge,
Charles. But I also wonder how you kind of square that with these Republican-controlled state legislatures across the country introducing hundreds of anti-LGBTQ bills, passing dozens of them just since last year.
Well, the real issue here is the fact that the radical left has hijacked issues around LGBT rights. I believe that 80% of this country is supportive of equality for the L's, the G's, the B's, and the T's. But there has to be some guardrails around that. Issues like protecting women's spaces, preserving women's sports in Title IX, Parental consent at every level and no permanent gender transition under the age of 18. This is common sense. I don't call it centrist. I don't call it moderate. This is common sense. But there's 10% on the far left and 10% on the far right that are going to continue to debate this ad nauseum, usually because of ideological lines or just rank fundraising. And the media continues to focus on this. I think that, again, and polls show this time and time again, that there is unity around LGBT equality with guardrails that are really common sense. And that's where I think a lot of the legislation that's been passed around the country deal with some of those four issues that I just mentioned.
Okay, so Charles, tell us, if you can, briefly, what it is that you think as a member of the LGBTQ community, what do you think the Republican Party brings to the table that the Democratic Party does not?
I mean, the fact that the economic strife that the Harris-Biden administration has brought on us has hurt LGBT small businesses. The rampant crime that we're experiencing in some of our urban centers, things related to free and open borders, put LGBT individuals' lives at risk. This is the problem, that all of these national issues affect LGBT people just as equally as it does anybody else in this country. And this is what we've really fought for as a community, to be like everybody
right,
else.
And granted that the issues that you're talking about would affect anybody in any community.
Yes.
But surely there are specific issues, aren't there, that really impact particularly the LGBTQ community, and if those issues exist, and you can tell me whether you think they do or don't, then how do you think the Republican Party helps more than the Democratic one?
I think the Republican Party is reaching out and treating LGBT people just like everybody else. This is an inclusive party. If you look at the fit graphics, if you look at the things, if you look at the work that's being done, the inclusivity that President Trump ran on, not only this time, but even in 2020, this is something where there has been a consistent and demonstrated action to bring LGBT people to the table, because they know that our sexual orientation is not the only way we define ourselves. And this rank assumption that all gay people they're the number one first and foremost issue is their sexual orientation. Polling came out from earlier this year, done by the Independent Institute, that shows for the first time in history, a majority of gay voters are open and will be voting on issues other than sexual orientation as their primary motivating device. That's huge. It shows that the LGBT voter demographic in this country is no longer beholden just to single issue voting, that it's going to be looking at a lot of different things. And you see that with Latino voters, with African-American voters, with Asian, like it is this consistent belief that Democrats peddle an intersectionality and that it's really, you know, the aggressions or the victimization of one is the victimization of all. I mean, we wholeheartedly reject that. And gay and lesbian voters are so broadly accepted in America and in American society now. This is the best time in history and the best place in history to be gay. Because we've greatly achieved freedom for all intents and purposes. I mean, it's illegal to be, you know, you can't be fired for being gay. You can serve in the military. We can get married. We have the same rights and responsibilities. We're basically at parity. I mean, there are obviously skirmishes here and there in areas where work still needs to be done. Absolutely acknowledge that.
Okay,
not
Charles,
stop.
I want to ask you something. First of all, we are speaking with Charles Moran, president of the National Log Cabin Republicans here on Countdown 2024. I wonder what you say to these young trans people in this country, where we have several states that have introduced forced outing, requiring teachers to tell parents if their child goes by a different name or pronoun. What do you say to those young people who perhaps don't feel comfortable in their own home and maybe school is one place where they do?
The problem is it's on the reverse of this. It's what about the schools who are continuing to hide critical information and continuing to provide services and care that are well outside of their scope? And this is where the real crux of the issue is that parents have to be involved, and there are ways and conversations that can be had. I mean, we saw the very malicious lies that were talked about the Florida Parental Rights Bill back in 2002 and 2003. But also, we've got this real conversation about parental rights. And the fact of the matter is that there is a happy medium in the middle. But right now, the hard-leaning left wants to take away the role of parents in the rearing of their children.
All right, let me,
there are exceptions where there are definitely issues, but you cannot continue to disenfranchise parents. That is not where the mainstream of this country is.
All right, but let me ask you this, Charles, because you can make a distinction between the Republican Party and its candidate for president and vice president, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. You're comfortable, clearly, with the Republican Party. Are you comfortable with Donald Trump and J.D. Vance?
Donald Trump has a long history as a philanthropist and a businessman and then president of the United States supporting LGBT equality. I mean, this is somebody who for the first time has actually treated us as equals. He was the first person elected to president of the country in history that actually supported gay marriage when he was first elected. Not Clinton, not Bush, obviously. So these are people who have already gotten up to speed. He's from New York. He's had a social life that has engaged LGBT people. But even more so than that, this isn't a president who just talks the talk. This is somebody who has hosted us at Mar-a-Lago for events, who has shown up to our events. Melania Trump has headlined fundraisers for this organization. Lara Trump kicked off the Gay Trump Coalition in 2022. Kimberly Guilfoyle has spoken. Even Donald Trump's ex-wives, Marla Maples, has come to do things for us. Every member of the Trump family, other than Barron, who just turned 18, has done something to support either Log Cabin or the Trump Pride Coalition or something along the lines of LGBT equality and visibility. There is no other presidential candidate out there who has had that type of deployment. That's a commitment. That's a commitment to this community.
Charles Moran, president of the National Log Cabin Republicans, we thank you so much for your time. We are moving from LGBTQ voters to Latino voters next on Countdown 2024.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Thanks for sticking with us on Countdown 2024. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero. Over 36 million American Latinos will be eligible to vote for president in November, making them one of the fastest growing segments of the voting populace. Until recently, the Democratic Party had the Latino vote sewn up, relying heavily on more liberal immigration policies as a way to attract their support. But in the decades since Donald Trump burst onto the political scene, Latinos aren't a sure thing for Democrats any longer.
Yeah, while majorities of Latinos did vote for Joe Biden in 2020, Trump and Republicans dramatically ate into their margins, all while pushing aggressive border enforcement and often hostile views towards immigrants in general. So, which way will Latinos turn in 2024? Mike Madrid was a longtime Republican strategist before co-founding the Lincoln Project. He's author of the book The Latino Century, How America's Largest Minority is Transforming Democracy. Mike, the Democrats, as you know, are concerned about the Latino vote. How concerned should they be?
They should be extraordinarily concerned. We just got fresh new data out today showing Trump increasing from his historically high margins in 2020 by a couple of points, putting the race at about 60-40, where Harris is still enjoying a pretty sizable lead, but much worse than what Democrats are at historically in about 6 weeks before an election cycle. So alarm bells are being rung, and they seem to be responding. They are actually adjusting to the new reality that the Latino vote can't be taken for granted anymore.
You know, I saw Biden's campaign described, which, of course, Harris inherited, described as being in danger of falling off a cliff with Latino voters. And it sounds like that cliff is still very much in sight. I mean, what can Harris do to pull things back with just 42 days to go before the election and some even already getting into early voting?
Well, she's actually already begun it, and I think it's one of the really remarkable stories of the 2024 election cycle, a campaign, you know, which has had a number of remarkable storylines already. That being that Kamala Harris is running one of the most conservative, aggressive border security campaigns in the history of Democratic presidential politics. I was speaking with a group of Latino students in Orange County last night and mentioning, as somebody who did the George Bush campaigns in 2000, Kamala Harris is far, far to the right of where George W. Bush was. She's actually heading down to the border, talking about building a wall, enhancing border security, hiring thousands of new border enforcement agents. And what you're seeing is a dramatic change in Democratic politics away from focusing on immigration reform, which was never a motivating issue for Latino voters, all the way to this strong position on border security, which is more and more in line with where Latino voters are at. And you have seen Kamala Harris close the gap from where Biden was in a historically bad position, but still a long, long way to go.
Why do you think Latinos are apparently in increasing numbers embracing this more, you know, to the right position on border security? Why?
Well, the reason is because the Latino voter that we have typically understood over the past 30 years is now dramatically different. We're seeing an explosion of third and now a fourth generation Latino voter. They have a much weaker ethnic and racial partisan lens through which they view the all issues, but especially the immigration issue. And even though immigration has never been a top five issue for Latino voters, where it does creep up is usually more on border security for economic populist and law and order reasons. In fact, Latino voters by the third generation aren't looking all that different than the overall American electorate.
What is the pulse among young Latino voters? Because my understanding is that the Latino vote is now disproportionately younger than other groups.
That's a great question. About 38% of the Latino vote is under the age of 30, which is a jaw-dropping number. In fact, 20% of Latinos will be voting for the first time this November. This is the largest ethnic group in America now, and the tsunami of new voters is just beginning to swell. So we're going to see dramatic changes going forward. But one of the defining characteristics of this younger generation is this strong strain of populism. Two of the American politicians that have overperformed with Latino voters, despite polling, despite conventional wisdom, have been Donald Trump, as you mentioned in the introduction, but also Bernie Sanders, a populist on the left. And in fact, in a lot of precincts where Bernie Sanders was winning primaries in Latino neighborhoods, Donald Trump saw sizable increases because of this anti-establishment, anti-party message, where people, Latinos, are looking for a dramatic change in both parties. And I think that's going to be a defining feature of Latino politics going forward.
Mike Madrid, sticking with us for some closing thoughts on today's Countdown 2024. Next.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
You're listening to Countdown 2024 on KNX, along with Margaret Carrero. I'm Charles Feldman.
Mike Madrid, co-founder of the Lincoln Project and author of The Latino Century, remains with us on Countdown 2024, keeping the focus on Latino voters.
Mike, after Joe Biden won the presidency, a lot with the help of black voters, 4 years hence, a lot of black voters felt disappointed. They didn't think he delivered for them. My question to you is, whether or not it's Trump or Harris who ends up winning the presidency this time around, what would they have to do that you think would disappoint Latino voters?
I think the better way to look at this is to say that whichever party or president is able to capture the hearts and minds of an aspirational multi-ethnic working class is going to be the dominant party of the next generation. And the challenge for Democrats has been keeping their hold on working class voters. They've been losing working class voters for a little over a decade now. And increasingly, those working class voters are Latino. But the challenge for Republicans has been, you know, being comfortable with the old multi-ethnic society and pluralistic society that we're becoming. So both parties have distinct challenges for very different reasons. But fundamentally, we have to understand Latino voters are increasingly and rapidly becoming economic pocketbook voters, not racial and ethnic voters.
You said that Democrats are losing working class voters. Why is that?
Well, the diploma divide is the defining feature of our politics right now. Those with a college degree are rapidly becoming Democrats. Those without are rapidly becoming Republicans. About 63% of all voters do not have a college degree. That benefits the Republicans. And it largely has to do with economic populist concerns, protection for industries and those workforces in spaces like the energy patch, construction, residential construction specifically, the assembly and manufacturing lines in our manufacturing workforce. These are increasingly daily becoming more and more Latino, and those workers are voting more and more like their rural, non-college educated white voters, which is Trump's strongest base of support.
All right. Thank you. That's Mike Madrid, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, author of The Latino Century. You like flavors?
I love flavors. What kind you got?
Well, tomorrow on Countdown 2024, We will have flavors from both ends of the political spectrum. We will be talking with up-and-coming Democratic Congressman Robert Garcia and former Trump advisor David Urban. Remember, we are here every afternoon, 2:30 through Election Day. If you miss us at 2:30, you can catch us again at 8. And, of course, we are on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024 and follow the show.
Follow the show, indeed.